Iowa scored 42 unanswered points in the second half to seal the fate of Nebraska coach Mike Riley, who was dismissed on Saturday by athletic director Bill Moose. We break down all of these new developments and peer into the future of the program with special guest Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World-Herald. Sean Callahan will also join us to see what work needs to be done on the 2018 recruiting class by a new staff. All that and more next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up.
So, as I mentioned several times to many of you, I had 5 weeks to observe and assess the Nebraska football program. From the very beginning, I wanted to weigh all my options, and one of those was retention. But as you know so well, during that period of time, we went 1-4, had 3 blowout losses, and I just didn't feel that the program was progressing like I had hoped it would. Nebraska needs to get back to being Nebraska. What's wrong with that? I'm not going to judge anybody because I was doing other things way back when, but I have an old saying that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And then we went into damage control for a little bit. And we're going to climb out of that because we want to get Nebraska back to being Nebraska. And when it is, it'll catch right back on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin Kugler, and welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. We have had quite an interesting few days around the city of Lincoln and throughout the state of Nebraska, and really not much of it is a big surprise. Maybe the outcome of Friday's game, at least the disparity in score, but other than that, not a huge shock as to what unfolded on Saturday. Maybe not a huge shock of what's going to unfold in the days to come. With me tonight, former Huskers Blake Lawrence and Damon Benning. We can get into so many things tonight, and I know we will over this next hour, but I have to start with, and we started with those comments of Bill Moose, the athletic director at the University of Nebraska. And I have to say, I've seen a lot of these press conferences over the last 15 years around here from coaches and athletic directors alike. It's about as good an athletic director's conference as you can have considering the circumstances. I thought he was in control. I thought he talked a lot, maybe more than he should have at times, but I'll take that as opposed to a guy saying nothing at a press conference.
Yeah, I think the relatability of Bill Moose is something that Nebraska fans are going to come to like, and the fact that he's saying the things that Nebraska fans have felt and they've said in their living room about where Nebraska's at, where it can be. And I think that's the one thing that Moose is bringing. He's also experienced. He's polished. And you can tell that he's been behind that podium and had to make hard decisions before. And this is a very difficult one made easier by the way in which this season went.
Well, he had no choice, right, Damon? I mean, there was literally no other option in that press conference but to say Mike Riley's not coming back and his staff is gone as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that scenario played itself out. And he was one of those guys that you watched him, his delivery and the words that he used and his level of transparency, and you felt extremely refreshed about what it is that he brings to the table. And the good thing is he seems to have a clear-cut plan. And if you ask him difficult questions, he's very adept at answering them for the most part, outside of anything that has to do with Philadelphia. but, you know, he was concise. And he's been consistent with his message. And anytime you want to start over and start to plant quality seeds and you want some enriched soil, transparency and consistency are two things in which you need. And he's well on his way to doing that.
We're going to hear from Mike Riley in a moment. But, Damon, why did it fail? I mean, why did Mike Riley fail and fail so spectacularly down the stretch to this season? I mean, this year was, you know, you see, if you're on the internet a lot, you see those dumpster fire shots all the time. It was almost a literal dumpster fire.
Yeah, I think there's three things. Number one, I think he underestimated how far away they were from being able to do the things that he came in wanting to accomplish. Now, there's varying reasons for why that was, but that's number one. I think the expectation level versus where they were, there was a considerable gap. Number two, I think the inability to stay the course under duress, meaning too many things went awry, and then it was, well, let's see what sticks, let's try new things, instead of a certain amount of conviction. Because when you have convictions, and even if things aren't going well, you can eventually get people on board. And if people are on board, then you can find ways to pull through. And then I think the third thing was a unified message. It's too disjointed, whether it was administration, whether it was staff, whether it's just from top to bottom. I didn't like the fact that there didn't seem to be a singular message and a singular voice. When you're struggling and that rudder gets a little shaky in terms of its message, who knows where that ship has sailed? And, well, I guess we do know where that ship
has sailed. All right.
It's sailed away from Lincoln, and that can happen to you.
Well, there's a lot to discuss tonight as Nebraska football goes through its next coaching change. The guys from Phi Kappa Theta are here in our call center tonight enjoying some Valentino's pizza while they wait for your calls. Running the call center tonight, our NET Sports intern, Ron, is here. You can text or email us your thoughts. The email, bigred@netnebraska.org. We're also watching social media tonight, so contact us via our Facebook page or Twitter. Here's the results to last week's sideline survey. Which player has stood out the most in an otherwise down year? And this was where my vote would have gone. J.D. Spielman, 79%. He was really, really good this year. 11% were with Stanley Morgan, also good. 7% of you liked what you saw from Tanner Lee. 3% said Chris Weber. Now, here's this week's all-new sideline survey. Who should be Nebraska's next head coach? I'm kind of surprised to see. No, wait, I'm not. Scott Frost has got 84%. 10% of you have logged on and said, I don't care as long as Nebraska can win again. You stopped by and you said, yeah, I don't care. Mike Leach, Brett Bielema, the other candidates. Head to our website now. Cast your vote in our sideline survey. We've heard from Athletics Director Bill Moose on Saturday, but it was also refreshing to hear from Mike Riley, who had this to say after his tenure at Nebraska concluded.
I learned that this is a special place. You know, I was kind of told that, and I think that the opportunity to be here, you know, it's like that old song, I think, you know, I could have missed the pain, but I would have had to miss the dance, and I loved it. I loved the opportunity to coach here. We wish we could have continued it, but at the same time, I think that, you know, that I think the opportunity for me to always speak to this group, I always think in terms of the people that are around me that I represent, family, coaching staff, team. And so I wanted to represent that group one more time and basically give my message to them that I love them and appreciate all the support and work through the time that we've been here.
A little unorthodox, perhaps, to have the coach who was fired come up and speak at a press conference, although not unprecedented in the annals of Nebraska sports. We saw it with Doc Sadler when he was removed by Tom Osborne several years ago before the hiring of Tim Miles, so it's certainly not unprecedented. I do think that we've seen a little bit of a reaction the opposite way from some members of the media who are now out publicly saying, gosh, Mike Riley should be a part of the athletic department in some way, shape, or form. Well, he's not going to be, and the staff isn't going to be. They're going to be, for the most part, gone from the University of Nebraska. But Mike Riley, you may not like the results on the field, and I don't think any Nebraska fan does, but you can certainly appreciate the character of the person that is Mike Riley.
And I think that's something that Nebraska fans knew that they were getting that from Mike Riley when Mike Riley came in here to right the ship or to at least give a different face to Nebraska. And that's a coach who went on a podium and told people straight to their face how much he appreciated this community and those fans and the support, wishes he could have done more. And that was the opposite of how Coach Bo Pelini handled the situation, very different types of situations. But that's what Nebraska wanted. And those that celebrated this hire should look at that press conference and say, yeah, that's exactly the type of guy we brought in. And when you look at the field and the product that was put on that field, I would say that's the exact type of coach you brought in. And I think that's may not be a fair shake or way to talk about it, but I know we're all talking about it. What we brought in was the nice guy that had some ups and downs. And we had three very nice years. And people enjoyed playing Nebraska over those 3 years.
A lot.
They're a little bit too nice.
Yeah.
I think it was unorthodox in the moment, but the two unintended consequences that I think will stem from allowing Coach Riley to speak, number one, it sends a message to the administrative staff that Bill Moose is a guy that at the end of the day, respect is of the utmost importance, and he was gracious enough and granted that respect to Coach Riley. He's been consistent in that message that in terms of how transparent that he'll be, how he wants to lead the athletic department. The swan song allows that to radiate throughout the athletic department and say, okay, hey, listen, he's for people. Because at the end of the day, when you want to lead, that's a pretty important criteria that those that you're leading understand. Number two, it's a nice subtle bridge between players and the next coach that comes in, because players don't feel as though they were undercut or undermined. They gave their coach every opportunity to go out with some dignity and respect. And I'm telling you, that has a way of manifesting itself with a level of positivity in players going forward, because they can feel better about the administration in terms of respecting what it is they do and who it is that they are.
I can say that the you did not see a Bill Callahan press conference in 2007, and nor did we meet with Coach Callahan and any of that staff after they were let go. There was not one. Bill Callahan was my coach one day, and I've never seen him since. And that's an interesting feeling, because it doesn't give you some closure, right? This is a guy that you dedicate your life to, that you choose to commit to his Nebraska, to this school. And it does matter if you're able to say goodbye, and because, yes, it didn't work out, but that's still the person that has led you over the course of the year, the 2-3 years, however long they've been there. So it is important to have that closure. And I know that Riley asked for it, got that opportunity, as well as I don't believe it was Coach Osborne telling Callahan he didn't have that opportunity to meet with players. I just think it might have been a reflection of the status of his feeling about the decision.
Well, whatever it was, Mike Riley had his final say. It was a much smoother departure than the previous head coach. Now we'll see about the next head coach. But before we get into that discussion a little bit, we're going to look back at one of the main reasons why this tenure of Mike Riley ended. Games like you saw on Friday with the Huskers and the Hawkeyes. And it was not a pleasant game, Damon, to watch if you were a Nebraska fan, really if you were a college football fan, because it was just, I don't care if you had a rooting interest or not. If you had a rooting interest in Iowa, you loved it. Anybody else either stopped watching it or was disgusted by what they saw.
Yeah, it was a microcosm of 3 years, right, where when things seemed to go well for Nebraska, they appeared to be very competent and functional. The minute they met a little resistance or a little pushback, there were these moments of wavering, and then ultimately the collapse. The inability to establish any sort of cut stopper. Once you got a little bit of a nick, to keep it from going to a full-blown gash has eluded Nebraska for quite some time. Some of that is cultural, some of that is character-driven, but whatever it was, you saw it manifest itself in a 42-0 run against Iowa, where...
And that's unacceptable, right? I mean, I know Iowa won the game. This is not anybody trying to dissuade anybody from saying Iowa, but I don't care who it is.
Yeah,
that, you have to be able to put a stop to that at some point. And Iowa's offense, the week before, they didn't score a touchdown until a minute left against Purdue.
Yeah, you've got all the intangibles with you. Senior day, a chance to really well up with some pride. You're at home. The fans responded and came out in droves. You wondered how much black and gold you'll see. The fans held up their part of it. Plenty of reasons to play, primarily for, and I talk about this all the time, if not for personal pride, at least for the N on the helmet. That just did not seem to be the case against Iowa.
I think that's something about, you mentioned the word earlier, convictions, and understanding where you're at. And when you went into the locker room, if you're in the Nebraska locker room, you're saying, okay, we're tied at halftime with Iowa. This feels good. This feels right. And I know there's been a lot of second half comebacks and second half meltdowns and first half come. You know, there's just been an off and on type of era of Nebraska football. But you come out, and then when that first play goes wrong, when that first thing slips up, and then it is that bleed, but it's that feeling. And Damon, I don't know if you ever had these games, but there was moments where it's like, here it goes. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that's a hard thing, but it exists in sports, it exists in moments, and I don't want that culture to be true. I don't want it to be that thing where you're like, here we go again. But that is what can happen. It's what happened in the third quarter. And everyone in the fan in the stands, you felt it. And we just almost, not to say laid down, but the lack of conviction is a reason, again, you can look back and say, you know what, this just isn't going to go our way.
Yeah, and I remember in spectacular fashion the night in 1996 in Tempe, Arizona, where every button we pushed was the wrong one. And mistakes compounded and manifested themselves, and we saw a part of ourselves on the sidelines in terms of dealing with each other that we weren't accustomed to seeing. And we ended up taking it on the chin that night to that Arizona State team. And while they turned out to be an outstanding football team, the way in which we allowed that to happen, 85% of what went on was the emotional letdown and allowing things to avalanche when it didn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. The good news is that story ends with you being the Orange Bowl MVP at the end.
Well, hey, I tell you what the real good news is that was kind of the birth of some conviction of a quarterback that would end up coming back to win a national championship the following year.
Hmm. What was his name?
I affectionately dub him as Ice Cold. I think everybody else refers to him as Scott Frost.
We'll see if IC is going to make his way back to Lincoln soon. It's time to take a look at these highlights from the Iowa game. Why? I don't know. Because they played the game on Friday, and we show you the highlights of it. So that's what we're going to do. And Mike Riley and this Husker team, would they show fight? You know the answer to that question already. First and 10 at the 25-yard line. Tanner Lee hit, pass incomplete. So watch it again. That Iowa thought they had a touchdown. He was throwing, it looked like. But that right there was just sort of an indicator. Maybe things weren't going to go that well. But it didn't look that way early, you know? Lightborn with a good punt here down to the 16-yard line. And then, well, Iowa says we're going to punt too, but a fumbled punt, problems. And Nebraska gets the football at the Iowa 15-yard line. So the Huskers are thinking, all right, a little momentum. Starting things off, Tanner Lee to the end zone. One of the best catches you'll see. Sunday Stanley showing up a couple of times on Friday. Stanley Morgan makes it 7-0. Nebraska, the balloons go up. Everybody at Memorial Stadium on a warm day is thinking this is the best day we've ever had. And then Akram Wadley starts going to work. 19 yards for Wadley to the Iowa 22-yard line. Nathan Stanley, who has been up and down, as you might imagine, for a first-year quarterback, a young guy. They've got him for a couple more years to Vandenberg down to the 42-yard line. Akram Wadley again, 20 yards, capping a 15-play, 99-yard drive. A backbreaker, if you will. Akram Wadley ties it up, makes it 7-7. Tanner Lee going back to work. Jack Stoll with a first down to midfield and actually the Iowa 49-yard line. Huskers on 4th and 2. Fake field goal. Oh, but that didn't work. Iowa sniffs it out. Nowhere to go. And the Huskers turn over. Nebraska gets it back. Mikhail Wilbon works his way to the 42-yard line of Iowa. Tanner Lee back to the air. Lee over the middle. Stanley Morgan with the catch out at the 28-yard line. Very next play. Actually, a couple plays later, Huskers stemmed early in this series. And then on 3rd and 10, Tanner Lee back to the air. Back to Stanley Morgan. Beautifully thrown ball. Easy catch for Stanley Morgan. I say it's easy for Stanley Morgan. It wouldn't be for me. 14-7 Nebraska with the advantage. Rastetter with a punt, but this is a big play. 4th and 4, Nebraska gets the stop, and Nebraska is called for roughing the Rastetter, or in this case, roughing the punter. Rastetter coming down. You know, it's called roughing the punter. They're going to protect quarterbacks and punters. Akram Wadley working his way down the sideline. Akram Wadley, ball knocked out of his hands, and the bounce is not going Nebraska's way.
You get the missed tackle in the hole, and then you get the fortuitous bounce right back to Iowa. It was a microcosm.
And there's Noah Fant. You know, Damon, 14-14. We move on to the third quarter. You know where I'm going with
this.
David and I both got yelled at in social media earlier in this year when we said Noah Fant was going to be really good. Well, he dropped a couple of passes. Yeah, quit yelling at us.
See you on Sunday.
Amir Smith-Marset, 74-yard return. Now, an illegal block kind of stems this one for Iowa, but you get right there. You see the flag coming in. But it didn't exactly stop what they wanted to do. First down and 10 at the Nebraska 22. Akram Wadley down to the 11-yard line. First and goal from the 1. Akram Wadley powering his way in for the touchdown. Iowa 21-14. Still third quarter. Iowa ball again. First down and 10 at the 44-yard line. He dropped a couple of passes, guys. He's no good. He's a bum. Noah Fant. Look at this. I mean, how do you cover a tight end who can do that? Big Ten teams are going to have to figure that out over the next year or so before Noah Fant is putting on a uniform in the National Football League on a Sunday. Butler into the end zone, makes it 28-14. Iowa with the lead, and now that ball, that avalanche, just starts falling on top of Nebraska. Tanner Lee, Ben Neiman, his dad's the defensive coordinator at Rutgers. He makes an interception, 40-yard line. First and 10 at the 29. Akram Wadley. Look at that. I mean, touch him?
Inexcusable.
35-14. Iowa. This is not a juggernaut Iowa offense, although they were on Friday. Tanner Lee, Hoppus, 18 yards to the 47-yard line. Second and 7 from midfield for Nebraska. Mikhail Wilbon, 11 yards to the 39-yard line. Still, Iowa can't stop the Huskers until here. Fourth and 6, 2-yard pass, turnover on downs. And then, well, Noah Fant again. I'm telling you, he's an Omaha native. Did you know that, David?
I did. Yeah. Between Bajuda throwing the bones and Noah Fant diving in the end zone, that was enough to turn the stomach a time or two.
Yes. And we're not even going to show you the other two because you probably don't want to see them. But just trust me, they scored two more touchdowns. You can see it at the screen there. 56-14. Iowa beats Nebraska. Kirk Ferentz, 42 unanswered points. Sean Eichhorst's words a few years ago about judging where Nebraska is based on Iowa keep coming back to haunt him even in absentia. He's not here. The words still are, however. And the final stats, 505 total yards for the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's a lot of yards for the Iowa Hawkeyes, a team that has been notoriously bad offensively on the road this year and really good at home. We saw what they did to Ohio State. But this road performance for Iowa was uncharacteristic of what we've seen this season. And at some point, when Nebraska continued to give up yards and points down the stretch of the season, you had to ask yourself, gosh, maybe it's Nebraska and not Minnesota and Iowa.
They're just too efficient in the passing game. You can't allow Iowa to go for almost 200 yards passing when they're going to amass 300 yards rushing. That's too much to overcome. And it was refreshing to hear Bill Moose at the very end of taking the podium talk a lot about getting back to playing good defense, because defense ultimately will be what will help Nebraska get back to where he aspires for them to be.
Up next, Blake will take us into the huddle for some plays from Friday's final game of 2017. And, yes, there's more. We'll be joined by Dirk Chatwin from the Omaha World Herald. Now, hear about how you can help support any team.
Hi, everyone. Ian and I are excited to be here on Big Red Wrap-Up this week to invite you to be part of the NET sports team. We've got some great thank you gifts when you join the Sports Partners Club. You tune in every week during the Nebraska football season for the in-depth Husker knowledge you love to find out about. Thank you very much.
It really does take a team here at NET Sports to bring you all the action. You know, you're part of the team too. Your membership and financial support is an important part that makes it happen. Here's your chance to say, yes, I want to help. Give us a call right now at 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate. And we'll welcome your membership with these thank you gifts. We have the NET Sports Partners Club sweatshirt. If you make your contribution of $72 or $6 as an ongoing monthly sustaining star, we have the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap with your contribution of $6 or $5 a month or $60 as a one-time gift. And we also have the Big Red Wrap-Up mug. It's a one-time donation of $45. It's just like the mug that you see them use on Big Red Wrap-Up every week. Go ahead and make your donation right now, 800-989-8236, or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
We love sports here at NET, especially Nebraska athletics, from Husker football to Nebraska volleyball, baseball, softball, and much more. But that's not all. NET brings you live coverage of several high school championships, too. Football, volleyball, basketball, wrestling, swimming, and diving, and more.
Really runs the gamut of sports, doesn't
everything
it?
Everything all season long. We'd like to say NET is Nebraska's home for sports, and it's true.
NET Sports Partners Club membership has a lot of advantages. For example, you'll find out about special events from the NET sports team that they're hosting. In the past, we've had events here at the NET studios with special guests, including Sean Callahan and Blake Lawrence of Big Red Wrap-Up. We've also had tours of NET so you can get a behind-the-scenes look at how live sports productions happen. It's a great way to see how the things come together and to meet some of the production team that does it all for you. We'd love to have you stop by during one of these events, and we'd love to get you.
Big Red Wrap-Up, high school championships, Nebraska baseball, softball, and more to continue right here on NET. Give us a call at 800-989-8236, or you can go online to netnebraska.org. NETSportsHub.com/donate. And we'll welcome your membership with thank you gifts from Big Red, from the Big Red Wrap-Up Program. Join at a $72 contribution, just $6 a month, and you'll get the Sports Partners Club sweatshirt, nice and red for all your Husker events. Or at a $60 contribution, just $5 a month, you'll get the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap. Or for a $45 one-time contribution, you can get the Big Red Wrap-Up mug, just like you see right here on Big Red Wrap-Up. And you can do all that by calling 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
We'll get back to Kevin and the gang in just a minute for an interview with this week's special guest. For those of us in Lincoln, we get to see how the city comes alive on football Saturday or Thanksgiving Friday. We all know that's true throughout our great state, from Bertrand to Beatrice to Gehring to Alda and small towns all around. We all come together to watch the Big Red and to cheer on the Husker team. We feel that NET brings Nebraska together as well, with programming for sports fans, news junkies, documentary lovers, music fans, and local productions that focus on Nebraska and our communities. We continue to be a place where Nebraskans can learn and share with one another.
And if you become a member, we'll send you some great Sports Partners Club thank you gifts, and great sports programs will continue on NET. Give us a call at 800-989-8236 or online at netnebraska.org/donate. Sports Partners Club sweatshirt, nice and red for you with a $72 contribution, just $6 a month. Or you can get the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap for a $60 contribution. That's $5 per month. The Big Red Wrap-Up mug comes with a donation, a one-time donation of $45. Call us at 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
Now it's time to get back for more of this week's Big Red Wrap-Up. Thank you for your continued support of NET Sports. We'd love to hear from you right now, so make sure you give us a call, 800-989-8236, or make your contribution online at netnebraska.org/donate.
Welcome back to Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Blake Lawrence, and you're in the huddle. We're going to take a look at Iowa's running game and Nebraska's defense. This is the first touchdown run by Iowa in the game on Friday. You can see here that Iowa has one, they're trying to offset Nebraska's defense. They got two offensive linemen on the top side of the screen here, and they're trying to outnumber Nebraska to the sideline, so they're going to pull some guys around, and that means that Nebraska has to do a good job of forcing Iowa back inside. They don't want to get beat to the edge. So let's see how Nebraska does that. Well, why are they going to do that? Because you got your linebackers inside. You got Kalu and Weber right here. So we got to force them back inside, and that is a thumbs up. We got Mr. Young out here, outside linebacker. He's going to push it back inside. That's a thumbs up. But unfortunately, that's a thumbs down, because we got really excited about getting to the outside, and our outside linebacker and backside safety, they're all out there, which means that there's four different people in the same gap and really no one right here. And so that's not going to work. And that's a touchdown for the Hawkeyes. Okay, let's look at another play, because you want to see more. This is the in the third quarter here. Iowa's going to run a very basic play right up the middle. You got the 3-4 defense. You got an outside linebacker with his hand on the ground who's in the C gap. This guy's in the B gap. And then that leaves this linebacker in the A gap. Okay. And what that means that if this fullback comes right here, this linebacker stays outside of him. This linebacker stays inside of him. It is critical that you have two people attacking that fullback. So keep an eye on the defensive tackle, one of the Davis twins here, and he's going to disrupt this play. You see the one linebacker making contact with the fullback in the hole. You see that? The other one is stuck. He got stuck because the defensive lineman got pushed back about 7 yards, and that's going to open up a hole right in the middle for the Hawkeyes. Not fun to see that as a linebacker. Here's another play where the defensive lineman, you may not see it, but this is a play where the defensive lineman may slip up, doesn't do his duty. This is interior lineman Peyton Newell, and the center, you cannot let the center get up on the linebacker here. So you can see they got a pulling lineman for Iowa. You got two of them, which means you got to have a guy outside of them, one between them, and one on the backside. So good thing for Nebraska, we got 1, 2, 3. These three people are going to make this play if they can get outside. Okay. Well, unfortunately, number three right here, he's getting blocked by that offensive lineman. So take a look right here. This is your center. He doesn't get blocked. Keep an eye right here. And he comes right here and blocks our third play. So you cannot make this play on defense. You're already missing one of the guys that are necessary. One is doing the right thing. Two is doing the right thing. But three is over here on the ground. That play could be the linebacker, but to me, maybe I'm a little biased as a linebacker, I put that one on the defensive lineman.
You know, I feel like most of the time in the huddle you start sentences with, unfortunately that didn't happen, or unfortunately they didn't make a tackle, or unfortunately they gave up 50 yards, 50 points, and 50 every. I mean, it seems like a lot of things that you say start with the word unfortunately when it refers to the 2017 Huskers.
I think we're all unfortunate to have had to witness so many unfortunate plays.
Unfortunately. Why should we look at social media? Because there's been a lot going on over the last several days. And Blake is going to look at it, and let's look at this first one.
Yeah, there's some sadness, but there's some positivity, too. With the season they've had, Nebraska still getting 90,000 in the seats amazes me. This is Alex Rowe?
Rao.
Alex Rao. And it is true. This was impressive to see the season Nebraska's had, but the stadium is full, and that is something special about this place we are in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we did not win.
Now look at this. Now, Carrickson Eck... I don't think her name is really Frost Advisory, so either she's a big fan of winter weather.
Yes.
Is that it? It's just the winter weather?
It's just a little chilly around here this time of year, and she's just letting everyone know that there's a Frost Advisory.
Well, that's good of Carrickson Eck to do that.
Yes, every Nebraska fan today hitting that refresh button, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Refresh, refresh, refresh.
Okay.
Frost is coming.
Okay.
According to the name, that's...
Well, no, this is weather. Bill Robinson.
An observation. Bill Robinson, Huskers, Nebraska Athletic Priorities... Scott Frost is a large part of this pie.
Right.
You got Make It 1997 again through Science or Magic.
Magic.
Which is a great chart.
Yes.
This one is also Runza.
Runza.
A little bit of.
He had two of them on Friday, he said.
It's a big part of making good decisions around here.
Runza. Starts with the Runza. Yes, I'm sure it is. Thanks, Blake. We have a winner in our game day photo contest. Kathy Thummel tweeted us this photo of her husband decked out before the game. Wow. Bo knows, Riley knows a Frost is coming. That's a lot on a t-shirt that Blake does not own. But I'm sure you'd look good in it just like he does. That's a fine look right there.
He's got great socks.
Make sure to send in your best game day photos each week, although there's no more game days, for a chance to win the Big Red Wrap-Up coffee tumbler, t-shirt, and DVD copy of the new NET program, Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. We are pleased to be joined on set by Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. Thank you, Dirk. It's good to see you.
In preparation for your questions, I've been studying Dave Doran's record all day.
Thank you. Good.
So
that's where I'm going first, is Dave Doran.
Brett Bielema, I didn't have quite enough time to get to him, but I'm prepped on Doran.
Beat Nebraska when he was at Wisconsin. That's what Brett Bielema did. Let's start with how this season ended, because I am curious, and this will be an unpopular question, but I'm not a very popular guy, so I'll ask a question anyway. When Sean Eichhorst was fired, do you think this coaching staff lost its will and edge to fight for this program? Because there was a lot of, I hate to say the word give up at the end of the season, but there were several instances where you watch this team and you'd say, well, there's not a lot of going on there. I mean,
I think the writing was on the wall after Ohio State. I don't know if it was full-fledged panic after Northern Illinois, but Once you have the stadium clear out against Ohio State and you have a bye week, I think everybody kind of understood what was going on, and it was going to take a miracle to save the season.
Am I off base, Damon, in asking that question? Because you see this a lot. The boss gets fired, and everybody goes, oh, well, that means that there's big problems for the head coach. And reading in the World Herald one day, Mark Banker made the comment a couple of days ago that Mike Riley has never been he's never been a fighter. That's not his style. So am I wrong in asking that?
I think it's extremely valid, especially in a tough sport that's played by tough men, right? I think the will to compete should be somewhere near the top of the prerequisites. And it's the scary thing about when you make playing the game about individuals and not, let's say, the university or the greater good known as your team. When individuals struggle and your team sees that and you lack leadership, it's easy to lose will. If you see bigger prizes or more things are important to you other than self, you can try and sometimes find ways to rise to the occasion. And that all too often eluded this team in crunch time, because I think the singular purpose way overdid the greater good, which is the University of Nebraska.
I think the other part of this is, you know, these guys prepare for 9 months in the off season. They're you know, they're following Bob Diaco. They're trying to buy into this to change after a really rough end of the season last year. You get to August 31st and into September, and all of a sudden you got to, you know, you got to Oregon and you give up 42 in the first half, and then you lose to Northern Illinois. And I think there's a sense of like, oh my gosh, we're not good. And when you have that feeling, I think it's really hard to bring the same energy every week, because, you know, some panic sets in, some finger pointing sets in, and then just some, you know, confidence is a huge part of it. And Nebraska clearly didn't have confidence.
Will Mike Riley be remembered? I mean, other than, yes, he was here, but I mean, what's the legacy going to be of a coach who in 3 years went 19-19 and had one of the worst seasons in 50 years?
It's a great question, and I haven't thought of it quite like that, because you're right. Bill Callahan will be remembered. I mean, he was the first major
failure in the modern right. era.
Bo will be remembered for lots of reasons. Riley, this thing was almost too fast to even be called an era. I mean, it was basically a speed bump. And I think there were some things that he did that were positive. I think you saw that Saturday at the press conference. I mean, he brought some class and dignity back to Nebraska football that I think it needed. But there wasn't physically, I think Nebraska just got overwhelmed. And you're not used to seeing that. I mean, it's you go through the numbers, Nebraska running the ball and stopping the run, and what happened at the line of scrimmage every time they faced somebody that was good in the Big Ten. I mean, they just got steamrolled. And that's a really humbling thing for Nebraska fans who have been following the program for 50 years and are used to Nebraska winning the line of scrimmage. And instead, it's like, you know, you're watching Iowa highlights, and every play there's a defensive lineman that gets pushed back 7 yards.
I can always tell when the game's going badly because Damon stops tweeting about the point where things just go downhill, because he doesn't want to say things that he will regret later on.
Usually it's because I'm walking off steam. It's hard for me to tweet and walk, but, you know, all too often we've seen it before where, and you have to be really careful, and I know sometimes people are afraid to call it what it is, but when you lack a little want to and you find ways to turn down tackles, or you don't necessarily dive for footballs, and you're okay with guys playing across your face as offensive linemen, there's only so much of that you're going to be able to stomach without saying that guys quit. And it's a hard word to throw around, because it is such a sport that demands mental and physical toughness. And when that wavers, it's typically easy to see. And I think that's the part that probably bugs me the most. Dirk kind of asked me a question off air where he says there's no way that they could really be coached to do what they were doing. The inside the huddle where you have three guys in one run fit, right? You've got an edge setter. You've got an inside out alley runner. You have a cutback guy. That's pretty standard, whether you're in a 4-4, a 3-4, a 4-3.
Right.
And to see three guys overlap one another, to get hip to hip and then to not touch a running back, I'm going to question your effort. Yeah. Like, that's just the reality of it, and it's a hard place to go.
It's a mental effort. I do not question the physical effort of a football player. I think that's a hard thing to do. Like, there's not a part of it where you're not going as fast as you can. You're not trying maybe there's a try.
Yeah.
Right? But I want to say it's more mental, in terms of you got to line up and know, okay, if they pull two to the outside, I got to get my head right in between the middle puller. But that's where you got
to
be.
And we're all reluctant to question the effort of 20-year-old kids.
Yeah, I was going to say the effort this past Friday.
Well,
I don't ever remember a Nebraska football season, even in the past, you know, even in the really bad years, I don't remember as many times as this year where you just look at it and you say, that's not 100%. That's not 100%. You could almost see it when they ran out of the tunnel, Damon. It was crazy.
I think he's right. I'm trying to, it's like speed through the Rolodex. I think the Big 12 championship comes to mind against Wisconsin, where I'm like, okay, I see guys turning down tackles.
Ohio State on the road.
Purdue 2015.
That's another one.
That was
one.
A bad one.
That's really bad. And then the semi-snow game with Wisconsin where Melvin Gordon went wild, where I felt like, guys, okay, they're not getting off blocks. They're playing peak.
But it was like week after week this year.
It's bad. This is unprecedented.
Yeah.
I think he's right. It's unprecedented.
All right. Well, so that era is hopefully behind Nebraska now, at least what you saw on the field. Who's next? And I look, we all know who the top candidate is, probably in the minds of the athletic department, certainly in the minds of most fans, and it's Scott Frost. And it's been the top candidate, and you saw it again tonight. UCF wins their opportunity to play in the conference championship game. They are undefeated on the year. Mm-hmm. College football playoff rankings come out, and they're 14th. Yep. Their athletic director's losing his mind on Twitter tonight. He's tweeting out all kinds of funny little emojis and everything else. And all of a sudden, you realize no matter how good a season you have, and you can't have a better season than what UCF has had, you're never going to have a chance to play for the ultimate prize there.
He's probably been telling Scott all week, just wait till you see the rankings. Don't leave us until you see the rankings. And then he sees the rankings and he, you know.
And that's got to play into the decision made by a coach as to whether you stay at a place like UCF or whether you go to a place like Nebraska or somewhere else if you're Scott Frost, right?
And the irony is Central Florida is a lot better than Nebraska right now.
There's no question.
It's going to be easier for them to be better next year. It might be easier for them to be better the year after that, but the ceiling is the problem.
Right.
And Central Florida's ceiling.
Right now.
You're seeing it right now. I think they have built up enough credibility this year where they'll probably go into next year ranked pretty highly. But the way the committee responds to the group of five schools, it's very unlikely that you're ever going to see one of those in the top four.
All right. So Scott's obviously the top candidate. There are a lot of folks that are saying, all right, if not Scott, who? So you see names thrown out there. I think this is, you know, a little bit moot because I firmly believe he's going to be the guy, and I'll be surprised if he's not. But here's some of the names that are being thrown out there. Justin Fuente doing a very good job at Virginia Tech. Who knows? And I don't know who's on Bill Moose's list. Brett Bielema, I think that would be a hard sell for a lot of Nebraska fans. I think Mike Leach would be a hard sell for a lot of Nebraska fans.
It'd be entertaining at least.
Oh, it'd be very entertaining, but I don't know that, you know, Are we in a situation right now, Damon, where this Nebraska could be Tennessee? Like if the top choice, kind of in reverse, like if the top guy doesn't come here, people lose their mind?
I think you could probably cut that screen off after Justin Fuente.
Yeah.
Right? If it's not going to be Scott Frost, then I think it would be a Justin Fuente. And if not Justin Fuente, it will shut down the 2018 season. Because anything after that, I don't think Mike Leach is a good fit, no disrespect.
No.
He's a wizard with gimmicks, right?
Right.
Not what we're after. And then whatever the reason, Brett Bielema would never commandeer himself very well to Nebraska's fan base for whatever the reason.
Might have been a better hire 3 years ago than right now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike Leach would be entertaining. I can tell you, just going back to one recruiting visit, the man is a wizard for many different reasons.
Yeah, I don't want to be entertained. I want to win.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't need to go. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Winning can be entertaining.
It can. That's the best form.
So, that said, is Scott going to be the guy?
He'll be the guy. Yeah. I mean, I think you read between the lines over the last few days, not only at the press conference Saturday from Bill Moose, where he was giving off a lot of hints, but also Scott's, you know, press conference down in UCF on Monday.
It was a goodbye press conference in a lot of ways.
Basically, it was. Yeah. And
I believe you asked Bill Moose a question that he did not answer at the press conference the other day.
Yeah, that was correct? Fun. He was.
That was the Philly cheese. You asked him if he liked Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, right? He was pretty transparent until we got to the point of, did you meet Scott Frost in Philadelphia?
Yep. And then, I'm looking for a condo. Bye.
he got quiet pretty fast.
So, and Damon, I know there have been times during the course of the year, because I listened to your radio show, mm-hmm. where you were less confident that it might be Scott. Has the meter tilted the opposite way?
Well, I always thought that there's two quick things. Number one, I thought it was UCF or Nebraska, mm-hmm. right? I never thought it was going to be any other school.
Correct.
Agree.
I do think that UCF will continue to tug at his heartstrings until the 11th hour. He's got a brand new wife. He's got a brand new baby. She's from Arizona. Wives have a good say-so in terms of what happens. That would be the one variable mm-hmm. that I could see, but the scenarios in which I painted in terms of his thought process, I think I have absolutely played out.
Right. And I'm surprised. I thought because of the strength of the alternatives, UCF, Florida, basically any job, but those two in particular, I thought Scott would really drag this out until next week. Like, I thought it was going to be a drama all the way through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and it does not look like that at all. I mean, it looks like he's made up his mind.
I'll tell you what, and we got to cut this off very quickly, but this is going to look really good for Nebraska in the long run. Scott's obviously the hottest name as far as young non-Power 5 coaches right now. Mm-hmm. And it looks as if Nebraska ends up getting him, they're going to beat out some pretty big schools to get Scott's services. That's a nice thing for a Nebraska fan base and a university that's kind of taken a few gut punches over the last several years.
I heard a lot of national analysts over the last month who kind of rolled their eyes at the thought that Nebraska would choose, or that Frost would choose Nebraska over Florida, and they were wrong. I think tradition and, you know, sentiment means a lot to him, and I think he's going to put his money where his mouth is.
Dirk Chatelain of the Omaha World-Herald, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for taking a few minutes for us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Up next on the wrap-up, Sean Callahan joins us to look at where recruiting stands now that the Mike Riley era is over. Before that, though, let's hear one more time how you can become a member of the NET Sports Partners Club.
Thanks, Kevin. We're taking another short break from Big Red Wrap-Up to say thank you for watching and supporting NET. We're here throughout the year bringing you great sports coverage like basketball, swimming, high school football, volleyball, and coverage of the high school speech contest, too. Thank you for making all of that possible, and it's part of NET's commitment to the state and to its people. We've got some information now to invite you to join the NET Sports Partners Club to keep the sports going all year long on NET.
Give us a call at 800-989-8236 or online at netnebraska.org/donate, and we'll welcome your membership with thank you gifts like these. You get the Sports Partners Club sweatshirt for a $72 contribution. That's just $6 a month. For $5 a month, you can get the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap. And for a $45 one-time donation, the Big Red Wrap-Up coffee mug. Call us at 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
You'll get even more than just your Sports Partners Club membership with your contribution of $60 or more. You'll also gain access to a great member benefit called NET Passport. NET Passport gives you extended on-demand access to a library of quality public broadcasting programs. You can watch on tablets and smartphones, and you have access to more than 1,000 hours of video, available anytime, anywhere. You can watch your favorite PBS shows like Nature and Austin City Limits and local NET programs as well. So when you join us as a sustaining star member at just $5 a month or more, you get the comfort of knowing you're supporting programs on NET with the added bonus of seeing your favorite content online anywhere, anytime.
Stay tuned. We'll get right back to Big Red Wrap-Up in just a couple of minutes for this week's latest on Husker football recruiting. Big Red Wrap-Up is just one example of quality sports programming locally produced at NET for many years. We brought you the Husker Century Football History Trilogy that tells the story of all the ups and downs of the team we all love. And you know, Nebraska has one of the nation's best volleyball teams, too. How about two documentaries there, Dream Like a Champion and Destination Omaha? In-depth sports journalism and storytelling and hours each year of live sports action you see right here on NET. It all happens because of your support.
Go ahead, join the NET team right now. Give us a call and renew your membership or make a new gift, 800-989-8236. You're enjoying this program along with us, so pick up the phone and become a member. We have several great thank you gifts for you. We have the NET Sports Partners Club sweatshirt. It's a great red sweatshirt for $72 or your monthly contribution of $6. We have the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap for an ongoing monthly contribution of $5. And we have the Big Red Wrap-Up mug for a one-time gift of $45. Go ahead and make your contribution right now. 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
We'll get back to Kevin and the rest in just a minute. NET is Nebraska's home for sports, but it's so much more. For trusted news like PBS NewsHour and signature stories on NET Radio, Masterpiece provides some of the best drama on television, and science programs like Nova are enlightening us all the time. If sports are your thing, that's great, but you can be proud that when you support NET, you're providing programming and services that are benefiting thousands of your fellow Nebraskans all year long. We can't say it enough. Thank you.
Join the NET Sports Partners Club here, and we'll get you geared up with these thank you gifts. Go ahead, give us a call, 800-989-8236, or online, netnebraska.org/donate. We have the Sports Partners Club red sweatshirt with your monthly contribution of $6 or a one-time gift of $72. We have the Big Red Wrap-Up ball cap with your contribution of $60 or $5 a month as an ongoing sustaining star. And we have the Big Red Wrap-Up mug with a one-time gift of $45. Go ahead, make your contribution right now, netnebraska.org/donate.
It seems like it never ends, our need to know the Husker news. So let's get back to Kevin and Big Red Wrap-Up right now. Thank you.
Welcome back to Big Red Wrap-Up. Kevin Kugler here with Sean Callahan to talk recruiting, or what there is of recruiting right now, trying to hold a few of these guys together. And I saw some updates that Husker fans might find encouraging, at least with a few of these guys in this class right now.
Yeah, really, a lot of these guys are taking a wait-and-see approach. Even a guy like Joshua Moore, probably the most highly touted guy they have remaining on the commit list, I think everybody has said, look, just wait it out for this week. I think by week's end, we're going to have a pretty good idea. And by next week at this time on a Tuesday night, I'd imagine Nebraska's next coach and maybe some of his assistants are going to be in living rooms of some of these recruits. And when you have eight or nine guys that are committed, ideally you would like to get a group of those guys to sign in December, because this December signing day is what's going to change really the coaching calendar for coaching changes going forward. I mean, this has probably been as crazy of a week as we've seen in the coaching business in a long time.
So if you're Nebraska and you've got a couple of guys who are still in the office right now trying to do their best to do their job and hold this thing together, but if you're Nebraska, you get that head coach come in next week, and let's just assume that it's Scott Frost who comes in as the head coach of Nebraska football. Are any of these guys still considering signing early with this new coaching staff, or have they backed off of an idea of an early signing?
That's the million-dollar question. Like, what will that first meeting, that first conversation with Scott Frost or whoever that next coach is, what will they tell him when they meet for the first time, and how will that go? What will that first impression be? And, you know, you look at the makeup now, it's basically Billy Devaney, Kenny Wilhite, Todd McShane, and then, Andy Vaughn. Those are the four guys up there kind of running the show, kind of getting things organized. So when that next head coach comes here, they can at least hand off the paperwork and, you know, figure out, get them on the road and keep them up to speed. So those guys are really important in this process, particularly like a guy like McShane and Will Hyde and Andy Vaughn, just from the organizational standpoint of kind of keeping this thing in line. I think Trent Bray is more or less kind of just babysitting the team at home, making sure these last couple of weeks of the players are going up to form.
Do you see, and we see this from both recruits and from current Huskers, oh, I love this assistant or I love that assistant, do you see any sign or any idea that anybody would be kept from that old staff?
It's just so hard to say because
without knowing who the head coach is.
you don't know if Scott Frost or whoever it's going to be wants a guy like Keith Williams or Don. I mean, I think there's really four that I think that you'd have to would say maybe would have a shot. Dante Williams, Keith Williams, John Perella, and then Trent Bray. Mm-hmm. I mean, of those four, could one or two maybe get a chance? It's a matter of how important you think this commit group is. If you keep, say, one of those guys, a Williams or a Williams, that might keep two or three more of these guys for sure, and it might keep a couple players on the roster for sure. But maybe the mindset of a new staff is like, we don't care. We're going to do it our own way. If a guy doesn't want to be here, then that's fine. So I think that's what we'll have to figure out and learn here over the next couple of weeks.
All right, Sean, thanks so much. Be sure to vote on this week's sideline survey question. Who should be Nebraska's head coach? Well, it's actually last week's sideline survey question, and J.D. Spielman is still the player that stood out most to you. There we go, Nebraska's new and next head coach. Still 84% of you say Scott Frost. Good to see 11% of you now say I don't care as long as Nebraska can win again. I think Damon went on and voted I don't care as long as Nebraska can win again.
That's nice.
Win, win, win. That's all I care about, winning. I will pose the same question as we send you to the wrap-up website to cast your vote to you, Blake, and to you, Damon. Do you see any of the current or now former Nebraska staffers from an assistant coaching standpoint being retained? Is there any reason to do that if Scott Frost comes in here, and I would guess he brings a good chunk of his UCF staff with him?
I could see maybe one or two. I'd start with Keith Williams, mm-hmm. right? Because, and it's not really just for the recruiting process. I think you have to look at the on-field production. I think clearly the wide receiver group, even with the early drops in the season, was the one group that continued to get better throughout the course of the season. We even saw guys like Stoll and Hoppus and J.D. Spielman's development. Stanley Morgan continued to stay the course. DPE rounding out into a more complete wide receiver. So I think you start with Keith Williams, and then you see what happens.
I think Keith Williams matches the brand in which Scott Frost wants to have aligned with him in terms of he's known, he's respected, he's built his own persona, and I think that's what Nebraska needed. There's so many of these other coaches that have kind of faded. You could maybe not name some of them if you're sitting at home, but you know Coach Williams and you see the production. He's the best season a receiver's ever had at Nebraska, and I think that's something that you could say is a nod. I think that Trent Bray is somebody that is respected in the business.
Very much
somebody
so.
That could be a great member of this coaching staff and represents Nebraska well, but he kind of came in underneath Mike Riley's wing because he's a former Oregon State Beaver. So those things factor, but if I could say two, those would be the two.
It'd be interesting, the two, to see what happens with Troy Walters.
He could be the replacement.
Because he actually, that's kind of what I think. That's the way that I'm leaning. He's close. He's been a guy that is the offensive coordinator or maybe some co-responsibilities. He does also coach wide receivers, but is very close to being that guy that gets a good look at a head coaching job. And I think Scott, throughout all of this, the one thing that he's really done that he's not going to get enough credit for, he's managed this position extremely well to leave UCF in a very good position.
Right.
Financially, the athletic director has an extension. They have some those little spots in the end zone that they are now growing that they're going to try to grow and mature into a revenue generator, and he would want to leave it in the hands of somebody that he trusts, and that would be a guy like Troy Walters.
Yeah, and the football program and the athletic department at UCF as a whole is in a markedly different spot than it was 2 years ago before Scott Frost got there, and there's no denying that. It's on a much more solid ground than it was, and a tip of the cap to Danny White, the athletic director, obviously, but Scott
Frost. He's outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
He's outstanding.
Yeah, there's no question.
They see themselves as like a Virginia Tech or Florida State 20 or 30 years ago.
They have to get into a conference, though, that will allow them to sit at the big boys' table because, as we saw again in the college football playoff rankings tonight, UCF's never going to have a better season than this.
Now, you're going out of your way to schedule them in a non-con?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the problem.
You guys learned that.
No one's going to schedule them, and you're not ever going to have the chance to sit at that table. No. That's the problem. They're 14th in the playoff rankings this week. That's not going to get it done. If you're the head coach down there, you got no shot to be the national champion. You can be a conference champ, and Scott kind of started that in his press conference the other day and then backed off and went, conference champions. Yeah. So maybe by this time next week, we'll know who the head coach is. We're back next week to look back at the season and hopefully have more news on Nebraska's search for a new head coach. Guest co-host Stephen M. Sipple will join us. Also, Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com will be here. NET has also put in a bid for first and second round volleyball action from the Bob Devaney Sports Center. Check back with NET online and on our social media pages for updates. Hope you get the chance to see the Huskers in the tournament on NET. Our thanks to Dirk Chatelain, Ron and the boys in the call center. For Blake Lawrence, Damon Benning, Sean Callahan, I'm Kevin Kugler. We'll see you next week on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up.